Welcome to Muscle Girls Inc., the next generation. Get full access into the world of women's bodybuilding, women's physique, figure, fitness, and bikini. Here are your hosts, Diana Dahlgren and Christina Voynich.
Welcome back to Muscle Girls Inc. This is Christina Voynich, and I am now joined by the number three IFC bikini competitor in the entire freaking world, Diana Dahlgren. I'm sorry, I had to. What's up?
Oh my God, you're hilarious. Thank you for that kind introduction. You always have the best introductions.
It's because I love you. That's why.
I know. I got your text message the other night. You're like, I just effing love you.
I have to say, I had quite a few to drink on Sunday afternoon. I think, was it Sunday afternoon? Saturday afternoon, I think that was. I don't remember. We went to rehab. So it was Sunday, right? So we went to rehab at the Hard Rock. Mm-hmm. And we were with our friends, Anthony and Kelly. Anthony, I talked about him before. He's my hairdresser and he's Mike's best friend. And he won the super heavyweights at the Junior Nationals. So he's like a big, big Italian dude. Well, mm-hmm. Him and Kelly were gambling at the Hard Rock like the night before and ran into some really old Italian guy that was just like dropping cash like it was no big deal. Well, they will go to rehab to the pool party and they find this guy and it's him and some other kid in a cabana that they paid $5,000 for and there's nobody in there except the two of them. So here come the text messages like, hey, we're at this cabana. Come and join us. We spent all afternoon at rehab at this cabana. Some old Italian guy buying us drinks and this and that and food and cake and desserts. And so I had two very large things to drink. So when I texted you, I'm pretty sure I was drunk at like 3 p.m.
Whatever, girlfriend. I was loving every second. I'm like, yeah, girl, get it.
I have to ask. So this is, you know, we were talking about this off the air. We tried our darndest to try to get someone on the radio show this week, but everyone is on their way to the Shuru Classic in India, including yep. all of the winners and pretty much anyone who placed like top five. So we have nobody for this show this week. So it's going to be the Diana and Christina show. But Diana, I have to ask. This is your second time at the Olympia. What mm-hmm. was different from this time compared to the last time you competed?
I was in shape.
But I'm cheating. That's the answer I was looking for.
Yeah, last year's Olympia, I was not in shape. And hence, that's why I got ninth place. I mean, I wasn't in shape and I got ninth. So the fact that I came in shape, and then I'm still going to improve, you know, for next year's. I really want to. Unfortunately, like the front side of my body gets so lean and then the back side just doesn't get as lean as my front side. So that's what I'm going to really work on in my off season. It's going to be interesting to see where I go because mentally I have to stay on a good track. That way I can really just grasp the lifestyle and just really just, you know, I love working out. I always have. I always work out no matter what. It doesn't matter if I'm fat, skinny, happy, sad. Like, I always work out. But I just want to stay in a good place. That way, when I prep, you know, for my next contest, it's not going to be hard. It's not going to be a huge battle or anything. And you know, I'm really looking forward to next year already. That's all I can say.
Now, I know that that's probably the hardest thing for most women, especially for women, I guess. Like, how do you change your off season? Because, you know, I'm friends with Gail Auerbach, who's, you know, a national level female bodybuilder, and she's great. And she was even talking about it today, like trying to not cheat on your off season diet. So like me, for example, you know, my diet's different than everyone's in the first place, just like everybody else. But
yeah, you get to eat Rice Krispie Treats and no milk cream pies.
But I have to say, like, I'm changing this time how I do, like, my off-season. I don't really want to say off-season, just, like, how I just change my daily routine. Because Mike and I are used to, like, all right, so we can kind of eat whatever we want in the off-season and we'll go from there. But the thing is now he wants to make improvements and so do I. So it's like, all right, so time to get on a strict off-season diet. So do you have a strict off-season diet? Because I'm finding that, like, I think I'm going to have one this time.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be on more of a regimen. It's like I said, I just have to grasp the lifestyle and go with it. Like, once you train your body how to be for such a long period of time, it's you can't transition back into eating whenever you want, whatever you want. Like, for instance, when how we were talking about it earlier, before that we went on air, is all day today, I was moving furniture. And I only had chicken breast with me. And so, like, every 3 hours, I was eating just chicken breast. That's it. Nothing else. And by the time I got home tonight at like 7:30, I was starving, you know, because I'm used to having veggies or almonds with my meals and stuff. And I was just like in a hurry leaving to the place to go pick up the furniture that I was like, I only had time to pack chicken. So I'm like, yeah, screw the vegetables, screw everything else, just chicken's fine. And then look what happens to me. It's like 7:30 at night and I'm eating protein bars, I'm eating rice cakes and peanut butter, I'm eating all these things, which necessarily aren't bad things, but they're just too much at one time, you know, like I'm stretching out my stomach. We're bikini competitors, you know, your stomach does get stretched out and you could tell. And those are things that, you know, I want to improve. I want to make my waist smaller. I want to make my legs smaller. Like, Every little thing, every detail really, you know, is critical in the off season. So it's kind of like, instead of calling it like my on season and my off season now, like, I don't even want to refer to that. It's just like a full on lifestyle, because really I'm going to be eating the same way when I prep, just cutting back my calories a little as we go, as a show date gets closer.
Exactly. Because like you said, you know, if you're eating just chicken all day long, I mean, you still need some carbs in your diet and you still need some fat in your diet, and just like a normal, healthy, everyday diet. You have the good carbs, the good fats, the protein. And then, you know, like you said, once you get ready for contest, then you can, you know, maybe cut the carbs or cycle the carbs, and you can increase fat on certain days and take out a meal if you need to, cut calories. But yeah, I just think so many times people think, especially women, they think, all right, it's off season, you know, I can now eat whatever I want. However, another scenario is Michael and I are training one woman who eats clean all year long, right? Like, she does, like, her idea of a cheat meal is like a roll of sushi. And like, that's like bad cheat meal for her. Like, not like chocolate cake. She apparently doesn't like candy, which I kind of think is all bullshit, because I don't know anyone who doesn't like junk food.
She's just telling herself that so that she won't eat it.
Exactly. Well, the problem is this woman, she eats 100% clean all year long, and she stays in condition all year long. So she does like 40 minutes of cardio every day all year long. Well, now she's at the point she wants to diet down for a show. Well, you can't shock your body into, you know, revving up your metabolism and changing your diet drastically and suddenly doing extra cardio, because for her, she's already at that baseline. You can't really bring her, you know, and shock her body into something that's going to be like, oh my God, time to, you know, put my body into overload. So I always tell people, like, it's okay in your off season to, you know, have your cheat meals, and maybe you don't have to do cardio every single day. Still do some cardio, but leave a little bit of space that way when it's time to compete, and when you're 12 weeks out, if that's how long, you know, your prep is, then you can change some of your food, then you can take the carbs out, and then you can add the hour cardio instead of the 40 minutes of cardio. Because the problem is with someone like her, it's like, this poor girl, I'm gonna have to have her do like 3 hours of cardio a day, because she's already used to doing 1 hour every single day.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one thing that I'm gonna focus on too, is I've been doing, you know, split cardios, and it's like, you can't just stop doing cardio.
Right.
It's kind of like, I don't know, weaning down your diet, or weaning things back into your diet and weaning cardio down. Like, you have to do those things in order to stay at a great weight, a good weight, a healthy weight, and have your body not shocked. Because once you shock, that's when, you know, this water bloat hits you and just like everything happens all so fast. And you're like, what the hell? A few days ago, I was in amazing shape, and now, you know, I have a cheat meal. I have a few cheat meals because obviously I just got done competing and all these things, and your body is so shocked by it. And really, you create a whole lot of allergies as well when you're prepping for a contest, because you're yanking all these foods out of your diet. And when you go for a long time, your body doesn't really know how to respond to those foods when you put them back in. You have to put them in little by little, not just like this big, huge rush of it.
So absolutely.
That's just having the self-control.
I think that's the key. You know, in the beginning of your diet, you want to shock your body. You want to do that, because it's like, wow, your body's going to react to this change of food, change of cardio, your body's going to start losing weight and losing fat quick. But like you said, when you're done with your contest prep, you can't just go right back to doing what you were doing before, because you're going to, the rebound is going to be that much greater. So you're right. You kind of have to wean it back in, which is tough to do because you're like, all right, I get to eat all this food now. It's like, no, no, no. You can maybe eat your one cheat meal a week, which shouldn't be anything super disgusting anyway. You want to have some quality. You know, you're not going to eat like a bowl of Mike and Ike's as your cheat meal as much as that would taste good.
And it really makes you value cheat meals a lot more too when you're like dieting all week long and you're like, okay, do I want to go to a restaurant that I know, I don't know if how the food's going to be? Do I want to eat a candy bar versus like, it's funny how I plan out my cheat meals. Like, I'm like out of town and they're like, yeah, you want to go get sushi? And I'm like, no. I'm all, do they have salad there? I'll get a salad and I'll wait to get the sushi when I get home, because then I know when I'm home, I know the sushi spot I go to. I know what I like to get. I like have my routine, which I totally used to not be like that. But if you're only getting one cheat meal a week, you don't want to mess that thing up.
Absolutely. 100% agree with you.
So yeah, it is a challenge in the off season, but you gotta, especially as a bikini competitor, you gotta stay on it. And I think me being one of the only blondes.
I know. I think there were three of you?
Three.
Yeah.
Three of us. Oh yeah. There's actually a picture I should send it to you.
it's you, it's
the other two blondes.
It's you, Justine Monroe, and Jenny Drennan, I think.
Yeah, that's her name. I didn't know.
Jenny Drennan. Yeah. I was going to say, I was sitting there in the athletes meeting, and, you know, this is the first time you kind of are reminded who all everyone else is doing the show. Because you see their name on a list, and everyone knows who's qualified, but it's the first time you see everyone, you know, in person at the athletes meeting. And I'm looking around. I'm like, all right, brunette. I'm like, shit. I'm brunette. I was like, at least I got the short hair. At least I'm a little bit different.
I know. You are different with the short hair. You're lucky.
And then there's you and two other blondies. So you happy with that? Happy being a blondie?
I know. We stick out like a sore thumb. I'm very proud. I'm very proud to be a blonde. No problem at all.
There is one redhead, Barbara Bellette. She's a redhead.
It's hilarious.
She's the only one.
Hilarious. So,
well, we'll do a quick recap of the Olympia. Like I said, lots of the winners are over at the Cheroot Classic. There's Aaron Stern, Nicole Wilkins, Candace Keene, Ava Cowan, Cheryl Brown, Courtney West, Felicia Romero, Krista Negrani, and a couple other women. Like, they're all over at the Cheroot Classic. And I was hoping to get Nicole Negrani on, but she is over in India with her mama. Kristen Negrani, so we don't have any of the Negranis available, and I was a texting fiend trying to find all these people, and then, you know, light bulb went off and realized they're all, you know, in the future, I think, right now.
I know, isn't that crazy? I wonder why they had her go over there, like, just because she's bikini and they're not having a bikini show over there. Like, I wonder why.
I don't know, I mean... I think it's probably good for her because she'll get a little bit more publicity, you know, from that part of the world. But I'm guessing she just went for her mom, I'm assuming.
Oh, is her mom competing over there?
Yeah, her mom's competing. Kristen's competing, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So all the women that I named, those are all the women that are, like, actually competing. And then the guys that are competing... like Jay, Kai, Dennis, Tony Freeman, Alfonso Del Rio, I think he's from Spain, big giant Spanish guy, Victor Martinez, Michael Cafalianos, and a couple other guys. I don't remember the other guys, but so it's just men's open and figure. There's no bikini. If it was bikini, I would go.
Yeah, of course. That would be bad. I was going to say badass.
You can say badass. We've said everything else on this show.
That'd be badass, man. They're going to have it next year, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
fingers crossed. Take a trip to Mumbai.
I got to say, I found out the hotel that they're staying at is the Taj Lands End. And I've actually stayed at that hotel when I was in Mumbai. In my trip to India, we went to Mumbai and then Bangalore, Pune, New Delhi, and then back to Mumbai. And I stayed at that hotel.
Bangalore, yay.
Bangalore, yes.
so, sounds appropriate.
Bangalore. yeah, so I've stayed at this hotel before, and it's seriously the most beautiful hotel I have ever stayed in. Like, and I've stayed in a lot of hotels, and it's seriously, like, marble floors. Like, the bathroom was just, like, immaculate. I had an ocean view. It was absolutely incredible. So they're all going to very much enjoy staying at that hotel over there. So I just had to throw that in there, that they are staying somewhere absolutely beautiful. Because I know when people sometimes think of India, they don't think of a beautiful, gorgeous hotel. But all of the Taj hotels over there are, like, 5-star. They're incredible. And the food's really good, believe it or not. At those
I know. Aaron Singerman just posted on Twitter, like, just went to the best breakfast buffet ever. No joke. The best breakfast buffet ever. So I'm looking forward to it already next year if we do it next year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It'll be fun. Yeah. All righty. So let's start. Let's see. We'll start right in with the Olympia. Where would you like to start?
Do you want to start off with the boys?
Let's start out with the boys.
We have a new Mr. Olympia.
The brand new Mr. Olympia.
Brand new. Philip Heath. Philip Heath. That's his full name, but everyone calls him just Phil Heath. So Phil Heath is our new Mr. Olympia.
You know, I actually saw a photo today. Mike showed me a picture of Phil Heath and Jay Cutler at one of Phil Heath's very first bodybuilding shows ever. It was like, I think Jay Cutler was guest posing at the show. And, you know, he went up to Phil, and Phil looks like so little, you know, back then. This was quite a few years ago. And he looks so little, you know, standing next to Jay. And I can only imagine what it was like being a kid and growing up. Because, you know, even 6-7 years ago, I mean, people knew who Jay Cutler was, you know. And all the times that he was taking, like, second to Ronnie Coleman, everybody knows who Jay Cutler is. So I can only imagine being, you know, an aspiring professional bodybuilder like Phil Heath was, and looking up to Jay and following his career, and then to one day say that I beat Jay Cutler. I have no idea what that feeling would be like. I was talking to Mike about this. It would be as if, you know, I looked up to, you know, I do look up to Aaron Stern. If I was a figure competitor, like, at some point beating Aaron Stern, like, that just seems impossible. So I can only imagine how he was feeling when he beat Jay. It had to be incredible.
I know, totally. yeah, last year was a tough call. It was a really tough call coming in between Jay and Phil. And this year, like, Phil was out to get him and get the title. And sure enough, look what happens. And, you know, Jay was a great sport. You know, it's I can't imagine what it's like having the title, like, what, 3-4 years? Well, he didn't have it in a row, but he's won Mr. Olympia, like, I think that was four times, right? Something like that, multiple times. But, you know, winning that and then taking second, you know, when everyone has this hype on you, this pressure on you that you're going to win, you know, that he has to win again. And so it shows how great of a man he is when, you know, he gets beat, you know, and he can be a great sport and show support to his, basically, they train together all the time, him and Phil, you know, because they both work with Hani Rambod. And, yeah, I mean, I just think it's awesome that Jay can, you know, be like a brother to Phil and, or be like, I don't know, I don't want to say fatherly figure. That would be mean. Yeah, Jay, so, you know.
Jay won his first time Mr. Olympia in 2006. I was going to say 2005, but I knew I'd have that wrong. 2006. So, yeah, you're at, like, 5 years.
Yeah, and then he got second to the Blade, Dexter.
Dexter.
I'm like, what's the blade? Dexter. He took second to Dexter. And then, of course, they light a fire under her ass or something. That's what happened to me this year. And then he comes back 2009 and 2010 and gets first. And so here he was. Phil was on his ass this year. And sure enough, there we go. So there's our Mr. Olympia for this year. And Jay came in second, of course.
Yeah, Jay is second. And it's funny, there was so much talk about Jay tearing his bicep that apparently he has torn his bicep 2 weeks before the Olympia.
So yeah.
That had something to do with it. Lot of speculation. I'm not going to say anything about it because I have no idea. but I know there was a lot of controversy out there, like, you know, if he really did tear his bicep, why he didn't say anything 2 weeks before that he tore his bicep. But as far as I'm concerned, Jay still looked great, even though he took second, and you can't take that away from him. And then, of course, the wonderful Kai Greene taking third, who's just massive.
Yeah, great job to him, too, because last year, I remember he got seventh, and it was like a big ordeal.
Yeah, and then we've got Victor Martinez, who I was always a big fan of, taking fourth. Dennis Wolf in fifth. Dexter Jackson, the Blade, in sixth. Tony Freeman in seventh. With Tony Freeman, that's, you know, a great accomplishment. You know, he just won a show, and then, you know, going on into Mr. Olympia and placing top 10 is, you know, such an accomplishment for half these guys who've been, you know, working their asses off just to try to compete in the Olympia. He beat Ronnie Raquel, who placed sixth last year, you know, and he beat him by a couple spots. And Brandon Curry took eighth. I tell you what, Brandon Curry freaking brought it. He looked great. I know some people were wondering how he was going to look, but he definitely brought his A game. And then we've got Ronnie Raquel in ninth and Hidetada Yamagishi in tenth. I just like enjoy saying his name.
Yamagishi.
Hidetada. So yeah, there we go.
Awesome. All right. Well, moving on to the 202s, which next year will be the 212s.
Yes.
They get to put on more muscle. I bet they're happy about that. Kevin English came first. You want to know something? I sat next to Kevin English on Meet the Olympians.
Oh, did you really? He was at your table?
Yeah, and I knew he was like a top three 202 guy, but now that he won, I'm like, damn. I totally didn't know that he won. Oh my God, look at, he's been freaking,
yeah.
This is his third time winning the 202.
I know. He didn't know that.
That's so bad. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I didn't know that. I knew he was a top three guy, but I didn't know that he was that good. So now I'm looking at his contest history here, and I'm just like, wow, I'm an idiot. He doesn't compete a lot. And when he does, he takes the first place position, as I can see.
Yeah, he did in 08. He won, or he got second in the 202, I believe. And then he always does the New York Pro, I believe. Or
yeah.
Lately has been doing it. 09, he did the 202. And then the Olympia 09, he won the New York Pro. In 2010, last year, he won. Olympia, he won, and he hasn't competed. He's been, you know, done guest posings and appearances, and you've seen him kind of around shows and everything, but he hasn't competed since the Olympia last year, which, you know, I was talking to Mike about this. It's almost great to be one of those top guys because even someone like Jay, he doesn't have to compete, you know, four times a year to try to qualify for a show. He can legitimately make half these guys, even like Dexter, you know, they can legitimately make some improvements as they go because they only have to compete once, maybe twice if they do the Arnold, but usually only once a year. So you have a full year to take some time off. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I see those guys in the off season cause I used to train at Venice School. They are for some friggin', they go mow down sushi.
They like the sushi.
Like the all you can eat, like the little Asian guys working behind the sushi counter, like, oh, $50 all you can eat for you.
How is that again? One more time? No?
Okay. Oh, shit. $50 all you can eat for you.
I got nothing. I can't follow that.
Was that bad? Should I have not done that just now?
You shouldn't have done that just now.
All right, we're editing that out.
I'm kidding. Jeff, the producer, will be the official judge on this one. Jeff, the producer, if it's in the show, it's in the show, and it's your fault if we get in trouble for it.
Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble for that, too. All right, so anyways, let's move on to the lovely ladies. Women's bodybuilding, of course, Iris takes it home again. it's funny how everyone talks about Iris Kyle, because they always say like it's Iris and everyone else, which in my opinion is completely true. The woman's on a different level in comparison to, you know, Yoxini, Brigida, Debbie, Kathy LeFrancois, Nicole Ball. Nicole Ball looked great. And, I mean, really, it's just like, you should almost just X her out of each list. It's like Yoxini's the real winner.
You know, it's funny. You know, Yoxana, like, she looked really, really good. It's just so tough when you have someone like Iris Kyle, like, in the mix. And back in 09, I think, Yoxana took fifth at the Olympia. And she did the New York Pro last year, did the Phoenix Pro last year. The Phoenix Pro no longer has female bodybuilding, but she won the Phoenix Pro last year, took second at the Arnold, took second at the Olympia last year, again, took second at the Arnold this year. I really like her. I'm hoping to get her on Muscle Girls, honestly, because she just has an amazing physique. And you know, it's kind of unfortunate. You've got someone like Iris Kyle. As long as Iris Kyle is going to hit the stage, she's going to dominate. So I want to know, what keeps these other women coming? What keeps Yoxana, like, stepping on stage every time? Even knowing that Iris Kyle is going to be there, you know, I wonder what her motivation is, because at some point, I don't know. I'm knocking on wood. Maybe. I don't know. Could she possibly beat Iris Kyle? It could happen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Maybe.
So maybe one time, you know, whenever, maybe next year.
We'll see.
We have a whole year left.
Yes, we do.
Okay. And fitness, once again, Adela Garcia, this is her sixth title. I'm thinking it's the same way with Adela. If Adela just keeps on hitting the stage, it's just like no one else is going to touch her.
No. And the thing is her routines are always fun to watch. This was the first time that I have seen fitness routines in person. I've never been to a pro show where they had fitness. So, I've been to like the Arnold and stuff, but I've never watched the fitness routine. So if anyone has a chance to ever see a pro show where you get to watch the fitness routines, do it, because these women are like incredible. We were actually, all the bikini girls were waiting for our meeting to start before like a rehearsal before, the finals on, Friday for us, and all of these fitness pros are all practicing their routines on stage, you know, and us little bikini girls are all sitting like the first row, like in awe, thinking, oh my God, these women are depleted, they're shredded out of their minds, and yet they're still doing backflips and back tucks and handstands and toe touches. And I was just like, I'm just too tired. I'm not even like that depleted, and I'm just too tired to do any of that. So I gotta say, kudos to all of those women, because that takes such dedication, such strength to get through all of that.
I know, it totally does. And I was talking to Adela, and she goes, yeah, you know, like, I practice my routine like 3 hours a day. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, are you smoking something that I need to know about? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah,
what's the
exactly.
secret?
What's the secret? My favorite routine was Tanji Johnson's, and I don't know if you saw it. We were kind of lining up, I think, backstage. I was on the side backstage when we were lining up, where we had a TV. We had the feed that was coming through. Tanji Johnson's was incredible. She did this routine for anyone that didn't get to see the live feed or didn't get to watch. I don't know if it's on YouTube or not. Tanji Johnson did, she was like a superhero, but she was the SF superhero, is the Save Fitness superhero. So she had this funny little introduction. It was as if, you know, something was happening and they needed a superhero to come and save the day. And she was saving the fitness division is what it was. And she had like a cape and like a superhero costume. It was like hot pink and silver and kind of like patent leather. It was a pretty cool routine. She definitely keeps everyone on their toes when she competes too. She's always real bubbly and exciting to watch.
Yeah, she is. My first Olympia that I watched, I was like, I like hers the best. I've always been as far as routines, you know, when I see routines, Tanji's is always definitely entertaining, very entertaining.
Absolutely.
So finishing out the top six for fitness was Miriam Capes, Tina Durkin, which Tina Durkin stepped it up, in my opinion, if you look at comparisons in her physique. She got third in physique, but she got like sixth or seventh in routine. So overall, she got a fourth place position. But that girl's legs used to be ginormous. And she knows us. We're like, we're good buddies. And, I would tell her, I'm like, work on those thighs, man. Bring them down. Extra tight for the Olympia. Sure enough, I saw her and I'm like, holy crap, Tina. I'm like, so tiny. I'm like, your legs, I can't believe it. She's like, I know. I've been running nonstop, like just bringing them down. And it paid off because she got third in physique round. So, you know, I think all she wants to do now is work on her routine and bring it up so that next year she can get like a fighting spot up in the top three.
I definitely think she can. She definitely brought it this time. A little bit of a surprise, you know. I like to see new names or better names, not really better names, but new names up there that you probably didn't expect, you know.
Exactly. Fifth place, Oksana. A lot of people, she's a fan favorite. A lot of people want her more higher, but hopefully, you know, she'll improve where she needs to. And then six, we have Michelle Blank.
You know who I was surprised? You know, Bethany Wagner, sister Nino, she placed sixth last year. And she placed seventh here. So just one freaking spot, you know, out of the top six. I was surprised with that. I didn't get a chance to see her routine. I think I just saw like a little bit of it. So I don't know really how it compared to everyone else's. But she's naturally gifted. I think she diets for like 12 weeks, but she really only needs to diet for like five, like, cause she always stays in shape and she's always really little.
Bethany?
Yeah. She's little. Like, it's so funny. You see her and she just looks tiny and petite. And then she freaking like flares her lats and throws her delts out. And all of a sudden she's this like jacked fitness girl, in the physique round. So, was a little disappointed. I was hoping that Bethany would place a couple spots higher, but it is what it is.
She definitely has crazy lats. Okay, so moving on to the figure. We have, this is such a big contest. We have so many divisions.
I know. Just wait until there's women's physique and men's physique.
I was just going to say that. I wonder how that's going to play out next year.
The three Muscle Girls Inc. shows dedicated to recapping the
Olympics. Yeah, part one, two, and three. All right, so with the figure, we have Nicole Wilkins. She took her title back.
Yes, she did.
And she's very happy about that on stage. Aaron Stern came in second. It's so funny because it's like whatever the judge wants to go for on that day, like in between those two, because their physiques are completely different.
They are.
And, you know, Nicole's tall and streamlined and like a lot longer muscles, whereas Nicole's a lot more thicker of a woman. Still tall, but a lot, just she just has a lot more muscle mass than Erin.
I gotta say, I've always, between the two of them, and not that I have anything against either one of them, but I've always been a huge Erin Stern fan, right?
Me too.
Huge Erin Stern fan. And when she beat Nicole, I was like, all right, like that was very, very well deserved. You know, I love Nicole's look too, but I've always was a bigger fan of Erin. But I gotta say, holy crap, did Nicole Wilkins freaking bring it this time. Like, I saw the comparisons and I was like, yep, Nicole deserves to win this one. Erin looked incredible. Very, very good for Erin. But Nicole, I think, really stepped it up. So I got to give kudos to Nicole because she really, really, really was on her A game this time. And she definitely deserved the win. I don't think there was any controversy, you know, because sometimes you're like, oh, well, it could have gone either way. I don't think it could have gone either way. I think Nicole, like, straight up won it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I know, totally did. She definitely put on the muscle she needed to, made improvements where she needed to, and obviously paid off for the best.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. And so then, like we said, Erin was in the second place position, still looked beautiful. Just wasn't her day, unfortunately. Third place, Ava Cowan. Awesome. She got third at the International earlier this year, and I think she's just doing awesome. She's rocking it out, and here she is in third place, and I'm so happy for her. Also, a few more that are in the top six that are new is Candace Keen. I think she was right outside of the top last year. And then Teresa Anthony. And then Alicia Harris. Alicia Harris also, she placed sixth this year. She placed sixth last year as well. So it's good to see a new names in the top six.
I love Alicia Harris. I'm always a little biased. She's from Chicago. We're both sponsored by Optimum. So she's one of my buddies. But she looked really, really good. I think they changed a couple things with her diet this time, and she just looked absolutely incredible. I think all of these girls, they knew what they were up against, this time, a whole different group of girls. I mean, you have the usual, the Cheryl Browns, the, Felicia Romero, Larissa Reese, like, you had those names, but you also had new names, like Jelena, like Heather Dees, like Kristen Negrani, Monica Specking. Like, you have other names of girls that are known for just being in shape. So I think these top six knew they really had to bring it, or else that they could be left out. So I think it was really good. And then,
yeah, awesome.
Yeah, we'll just do a quick recap of Bikini, because I know you and I are probably not the best to judge how good or bad the top six Bikini are, except for that top three girl. She was freaking hot. So first place is Nicole Negrani, and big congrats to her. I remember when we were backstage when she won, her mom was like running through the hallway, like trying to come get her to give her a big hug. So hopefully we'll have her and her mom on the show hopefully soon. And
that'd be an awesome show.
That's what I'm hoping for. Fingers crossed. Nicole and Kristen, we're coming for you. second place was Nathalia Melo. Always, a big fan favorite. She's got that Brazilian booty that everybody likes, and it's a tight booty too, which helps. Third place, the very hot and one of my favorite of all time, Diana Dahlgren, placing third.
Oh my God.
Okay, and then enough about her. Fourth place, we've got Jamie Beard, which I think everyone kind of expected that she too would be in the top six. And then fifth place, a little surprising to some people, Sonia Gonzalez, who was the former Bikini Olympia, so she has handed off her title. Of course, we knew that she would probably be in the top six, but I think people were expecting she may be a couple of spots higher, but still good for her to get in that top six. And then kind of a surprise, I think, for some people, India Paulino, who we've had on the show before, just turned pro at the show that I turned pro at the NPC Junior Nationals in like June. So, I mean, I was freaking thankful to be able to step on the Olympia stage this year after turning pro in the same year, within like 4 or 5 months. But I can only imagine how she felt being able to play sixth, being in the top six at the Olympia when she just turned pro. I imagine this has been quite a whirlwind for her. So big congratulations to India Paulino, because that was a big accomplishment for her.
Definitely was. So.
And that's everybody. Whew.
Yes.
That's it. That was, I think, the longest show we've ever had.
I think it was so. I think it definitely was so.
And we don't even have an interview, and we didn't cover a whole bunch of stuff. But we did want to, for sure, recap the Olympia. We always have to do that after there's a big show, and give, all the kudos to the girls that deserve it, which everyone did. Very fun show. And next week, we'll recap the Sheree Classic, the very first Sheree Classic. And there we have, again, all of the big names. You're going to have Aaron Stern, Nicole Wilkins, Candace Keene, Ava Cowan. So there's your top four that are all going to be, back on stage together again this weekend. So we'll see how, see if the placings change at all, maybe after this show. What do you think?
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so either. I think it's probably going to be the same, that everyone's going to keep their spots 1, 2, 3, and 4. But maybe there's a curveball. Maybe we don't see something coming. Maybe someone's out of shape. Maybe someone's in shape.
Yeah, someone didn't come in tight to India. That wouldn't be good.
That wouldn't be good at all. Well, that does it for the show. Diana?
Until next week, darling.
Until next week. Anyone has any suggestions or topics or crap they want to talk about on our show, we will talk about it. You can either give us suggestions on the thread on the forum, or send us some, private messages on the RX Muscle Forum. And
Diana, Twitter and Facebook.
Twitter and Facebook the crap out of us, because we love following people, and we will follow you back. If you tell us you're with RX Muscle, tell us you heard us on Muscle Girls Inc., we'll follow you back. How about that?
There you go. That's a lot better.
That's a good promise. Alrighty. Well, that does it for this episode of Muscle Girls Inc. Until next time, see you next week. Bye.
See you then.
Muscle Girls Inc., the next generation. Is pain during your workout slowing you down? Try Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Developed by Dr. Craig Banks, a chiropractor and a bodybuilder, Kodiak Chiropractic Cream is a topical formula that penetrates the skin and decreases inflammation and pain. Its unique blend of over 20 different natural anti-inflammatory ingredients has helped people across the country to work out with less pain. Kodiak is safe, effective, and it won't leave you smelling like a medicine cabinet either. A 4-ounce bottle is only $25 and lasts a long time, as a little goes a long way. To order your 2-month supply, call 330-678-2225 or go to KodiakCream.com. Get yours today and work out with less pain. KodiakCream.com.
Are you tired all day, not making the gains you like? Are you taking a long time to recuperate from your workouts? Then you may be suffering from sleep apnea and not even know it. Sleep apnea affects over 68% of athletes, and it may be interfering with your performance. WinningEdgeSleep.com was developed by IFBB pro athlete Dr. Derlin Castro to help athletes find out if they have this problem and how to fix it. WinningEdgeSleep.com, because sleep is the most anabolic agent there is. WinningEdgeSleep.com. Visit them today.
Hydralyze Ultra, the leader in cellular hydration water. Hydralyze Ultra water has been designed by shrinking and reshaping molecules to allow a faster and more sustained delivery into your cells. Our cellular water has gone through a magnetism and laser treatment process, along with adding electrolytes to our special ingredients. This allows all nutrients to be absorbed at a maximum cellular state. By using Hydralyze Ultra, all nutrients, supplements, and carbohydrates you consume will be absorbed at a greater rate. Lactic acid gets flushed faster, and you'll feel fully hydrated. Get the advantage that top athletes have achieved. Try Hydralyze Ultra today. Visit HydralyzeUltra.com. That's HydralyzeUltra.com. Visit ExtremeFitNutrition.com, the newest and hottest supplement super site. We carry all the major brands, including Species, MHP, PPI, BSN, Optimal Nutrition, Gaspari, and many more. Low on cash? No problem. ExtremeFitNutrition.com offers competitive prices that our competitors can't beat. Now you can supplement your diet without having to supplement your bank account. Here's some of our specials. Buy $100 worth of Species products or metabolic nutrition and get a free t-shirt and bag. Buy $200 worth of PSN products and receive a PSN t-shirt and shaker bottle. Check out ExtremeFitNutrition.com for more great deals. Visit us at the 2011 Olympia Expo. Stop by booth number 322 and meet IFBB pros Bethany Wagner, Guy's sister Nino, Tiana Gonzalez, and Gina Trociano. Remember, there's only one extreme. Visit ExtremeFitNutrition.com now. P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved. Here is a powerful new line of nutraceutical products that prepare, optimize, and repair your body to get the best results before, during, and after your workout. Gear utilizes the latest advances in food science and the purest form of raw ingredients to ensure that you are getting the safest and most effective physical results possible. If you're looking to take your physical performance to the next level, Gear is the answer to obtain and sustain those results. It's time to experience the difference with Gear.
This is IFBB Pro Michael DeVittori from Team Gear. Come see me and the full line of gear products at our official launch taking place at the MPC Nationals in South Beach, Miami, November 18th, 2011. See you there.
Pro Bodybuilding and Pro Figure is coming to India. The 2011 Cheryl Classic, September 24th and 25th in Mumbai, India. Featuring Mr. Olympia Jay Cutler. Jay's only competitive bodybuilding show outside of the Mr. Olympia contest. Plus, all your favorite bodybuilders and figure athletes. Phil Heath, Branch Warren, Kai Green, Victor Martinez, Miss Figure Olympia Erin Stern, Nicole Wilkins, Cheryl Brown, Candace Chris Keene, Courtney Brown, and so many more. Come be a part of history by attending the Cheryl Classic, the first pro show in Asia, and the third biggest bodybuilding competition in the world with $150,000 in prize money. The 2011 Cheryl Classic, September 24th and 25th. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit CherylClassic.com. Come meet your favorite competitors at the Cheryl Classic Expo and After Party. Don't miss out on your chance to be a part of history. The 2011 Cheryl Classic. Visit CherylClassic.com. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Welcome back to Muscle Girls Inc. This is Christina Voynich, and I am now joined by IFBB Women's Physique Pro Nola Trimble. Nola, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Christina?
I'm great. You know, I always ask this, and everyone knows whenever I have a new pro on, you know, how does it feel to be introduced as an IFBB pro?
It feels awesome. It's a goal I've wanted to achieve for. Probably, I've been on the national stage for over 5 years now, so it's incredible.
I can only imagine. Now, we'll get into, you know, women's physique and all of that as we move on, because you just recently at the North Americans turned pro in the brand new women's physique division, which everyone has been, you know, there's been a buzz in the air for a long time, and then everyone's been wanting to hear about the story behind all these new women's physique pros, where they came from. Were they bodybuilders? Were they figure competitors? You know, where on earth they came from? So we'll get into that first, or in a bit. But first I wanted to talk a little bit about what got you into competing in the first place. Were you always athletic before you even stepped on stage?
Yeah, I was always involved in sports throughout school and college. I went to my university. I played golf on a golf scholarship. So I was always fairly athletic, and then I just started going to the gym when I was in college and met up with some people that competed, and kind of the rest is history. From there on, I competed in my first show after I met them, and been competing ever since. Well, that was about eight years ago.
That's a big change to go from golf to, you know, a bodybuilding stage.
The two sports don't really go together. And I had played golf my whole life, and up until probably 25 or so years of age. And then I just got into the gym and loved that, and kind of fell in love with it even more than golf. So I just switched.
Now, I know you started out in figure. And what was your track record when you started with figure? Were you successful, or did they always think you were a little too muscular for figure? Because that's what we've all tended to hear about when it came to figure girls turning physique. So was that the same for you?
At the regional level, I was fairly successful in the figure division. And then I went on to the nationals. My first couple national shows, I did really well. Like maybe the first 2 years, I was top five most of the time I was on the national stage. But then they kind of switched over to that softer look for the figure girls, and that's when they were telling me that I was a little too muscular for figure. So I stuck it out for a few more years before I tried the bodybuilding category, because I was always told my legs are too big for figure. So I switched over to the bodybuilding to see if that would help me out.
And in the bodybuilding thing, though, were you too small for bodybuilding, though, for women's bodybuilding?
Yes, of course. <Yeah. laughs> So there's really no medium there, but right. I was, I did like a regional show for bodybuilding and did really well. I placed second in my first show, and I got in the best shape of my life for that show. But then I went to do the USAs as a bodybuilder, and I was in the middleweight class, but just, I was a lot taller than those girls, but the same weight. So I looked tall and stringy next to a girl that's 5 inches shorter than me and the same weight. So they looked all stocky, and I probably needed to be a light heavy, but I just didn't have enough muscle for that. So
And how tall are you? Because you do kind of have those long, beautiful lines. So how tall are you?
I'm 5'6".
Okay. Which is pretty tall for, you know, a female bodybuilder. Usually they're quite a bit shorter than that.
Yeah, I noticed that once I got on the stage next to them. So, they did tell me I was a little too small for bodybuilding.
So what happened then when you hear the buzz going around about women's physique before it actually came out? What were your thoughts when you first heard about it?
I hadn't heard rumors that they were going to start this new division. And at the time, I was spending a year in Iraq as a firefighter. So I was kind of away from the competing for a year due to that. But I was really excited to hear that they were bringing in this new category because it would fit me perfect. I think it's best for the girls that are like me that are always told they're too muscular for figure but too small for bodybuilding and don't really want to put on all that muscle and size to be a bodybuilder. So for me, it was a perfect fit.
Now, you mentioned something that is something I definitely wanted to touch on. You mentioned that you not only were a firefighter, but a firefighter in Iraq. So what on earth, was that always a passion of yours to be a firefighter? You know, we talked off air just for a second, and I said it's a very male-driven industry. So what was it about firefighting that kind of brought that trigger to go there?
I always was interested in the firefighting because I always wanted to be in a position where I could help people and go out and, you know, run medical calls and things like that. I have a medical background from the military. And the firefighting appealed to me because of the physical aspect of it. And it is a very challenging job. So I wanted to see if I could, make it through the fire academy.
And you did.
I did, yes. I actually went to a military fire academy, which all the branches of the military go to.
Okay.
So, at the time, I was in the Air Force, so I had spent 14 weeks in Texas for this particular military fire academy. And then I went on to become a firefighter, which I've been doing for about the past 8 years or so.
Now, I can only imagine the things that you've seen. So what type of challenges do you face when you are a firefighter? Aside from, obviously, you know, the calls where there is a house on fire and you have to go, but have you ever experienced any other challenges while, you know, in the firehouse or while on the scene?
I think the challenge of being a firefighter and competing is a lot of the guys in the firehouse don't really understand the diet part of it or what I have to do and eat. It's really difficult to eat every 3 hours or whenever I'm supposed to eat right on time because if we have a call, I can't really eat or, of course, the job has to come first in that aspect. So a lot of times they didn't really understand what I was doing, why I was always in the gym on my off time. But, it's difficult to kind of make the two work, but somehow it worked out.
Now, being a woman in a firehouse, aside from the competing thing, did you have to deal with any scrutiny from the other men that were there at all?
I had a little bit of that at times, but for the most part, it was the guys treated me really well, and they just accepted me like one of them and kind of treated me like their sister, so that was really nice.
That's good. We've had some women police officers on too. I think all the men are just scared of you women physique girls. I think that's what it is. I think they don't want to mess with you. You could knock the shit out of somebody, I'm pretty sure.
That could be it too. But when I went to the fire academy, some of the military instructors made it pretty well known they didn't want females in the fire service, so they tried to do whatever it took to make me fail, you know. But
wow.
So that was kind of I didn't really want to, you know, what was I going to say? I'm sorry.
That was the
only negative part of my career so far. But after that, everybody's been really, really accepting.
That's such an interesting career. So what then took you to Iraq? Because, you know, we always hear about soldiers going over to Iraq, but you don't really realize the medical crews and the firefighters that also go over there. So what was your experience like over there?
They had a position open for civilian firefighters to go over there as contractors. And what we did was we worked on the military base with all the military personnel, but we weren't allowed off the base. So they kept us pretty safe. As safe as they could, anyway. Which,
sure.
But we were there to protect the military on the base because they didn't have any military firefighters there. So it was a really good experience. I'm really glad I took that year and went over there. And the reason I wanted to do that was because when I was active duty for 7 years in the Air Force, I never got the chance to deploy overseas. So when I heard about this position, I applied and they told me it was going to be very quick that I got over there, and they weren't kidding. Within a month, or I think it was even 2 weeks, they're like, okay, we have a date for you to come, and you're going. And they send you to Iraq, and then they don't even tell you where you're going. You just get on a plane, and once you get there, they tell you where you're going to be set up.
Now, I assume you weren't dieting or anything during this time, but were you able to train while you were over there?
Yeah, I got really lucky where I was stationed over there. We had two really nice gyms with all the equipment you can imagine. We had a really nice dining hall, two of them, that pretty much any food you wanted you could get, and you could get clean food or unhealthy food. So it was funny. I got a lot of the firefighters there on diets and helping them get lean and in shape. So I got really lucky. There were some people that were living in tents and didn't have that luxury, you know.
Yeah, I can. Oh, that would be tough. Well, I commend you for not only, you know, serving the country, but being voluntarily, I guess, going over and taking a position in Iraq when you weren't even being, you know, forced to or asked to. So I guess I will formally thank you from everyone for doing that, because that takes a big heart and takes a lot of courage to do that. So that's incredible. But we'll get back to you turning pro. So all of this has gone down in your life. You know, you've been on stage in figure. You've been on stage in bodybuilding. Then you step on the stage at Junior USA. It's the very first time that women's physique is introduced. And you take third, which is absolutely incredible. Especially for the first time that no one knows, obviously, at the time what the judges are looking for. So what were you thinking right before you got on stage when you were, I guess even when you were preparing and practicing your poses for Junior USA? What was going through your head about what you thought the judges wanted to see?
Yeah, it was a little, I didn't really know what they wanted, because they even came into the meeting that morning and said, you know, this is our first show. We really don't know what we're looking for. So just bear with us. And so all of us are like, okay, what do we do?
Right.
But I just, what I did was I just practiced, you know, my bodybuilding routine from what I had done about a year prior. And then, you know, they said they wanted open hand posing. So we all just kind of made it like a little bit more feminine poses than bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. But really there's still no real standard as far as the poses that they want. So we all just kind of do our own thing with our own little twist on it.
I guess it allows you to have posing that specifically flatters your own physique, and as opposed to being forced to do it one way or the other. If this version of a side tricep works better than the other, then you can do the other, or whichever one works best for you.
That's the nice part about this. And it just really looks feminine, so that's what appealed to me.
So then you also did Junior Nationals and took second, and then did the USAs and took fourth. So already you have had quite a long year. I can only imagine how long you've been dieting and getting ready for all of these shows. So what type of critiques and improvements, I guess, what type of critiques did the judges give you, and what type of improvements were you hoping to make from, you know, Junior USAs until the North Americans when you turned pro? What type of little things did you need to change?
I felt like I was in my best shape at the Junior Nationals in Chicago, and for some reason I placed second, and I really didn't get a chance to speak to any of the judges at any of these shows because they take off so quick after the long day that they've had.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But I feel like I peaked for that show in Chicago, and then I kept going because I wanted this pro card so bad. So I kept going and dieting for the USAs, and I think I overdid it because I was told at the USAs that I was way too thin. So I kind of overdid it with the cardio. I was doing 3 hours a day when I didn't need to. And I had been dieting so long at that point. So that was nearly 7 months of dieting.
I could have got away
with about an hour of cardio, but I was overdoing it.
Right.
And so in Vegas, they told me I was a little too thin, and which was kind of nice for the prep for the North Americans because I was told I could eat. But in my mind, it mentally messed me up because I wasn't used to going into a show feeling so full.
Like, sure.
I was 10 pounds heavier at the North Americans than I was at the USA's.
Wow.
But to me, that's not a look I wanted to bring to the stage, but I was told that's what they wanted. So I did it, and I guess it worked.
It worked. Absolutely.
I guess I don't need to starve myself so bad next time.
it's almost, you have this understanding or this misconception that you're supposed to suffer heavily, when you get ready for a show. You're supposed to be miserable and angry and cranky and doing all this awful cardio when sometimes, your best look that the judges may want, you may not have to do all of that. So it's good you found a balance,
For sure. And I think I did that. I overdid it, and I was looking unhealthy at that point, and that's what they didn't like. So then when I started to eat it again a little bit more, it brought a little bit fuller look into my face and my body and just a healthier look overall.
Now, what type of dieting do you usually do? Do you, I know everyone's diet is a little bit different, so you don't have to tell me, your little secrets, I guess. But do you find that you work well with carbs, or do you work better pulling the carbs from your diet? Because I know everyone's a little different.
I, for the most part, do zero carb.
Okay.
And then for this last show, we did bring the carbs in for about a week just so I could fill out. But for the most part, I'm always on the zero carb diet, and I use fats.
Okay. Yeah, I'm finding a lot of women I have found tend to react better with fats than carbs. Anyway, I'm finding as I'm talking to a lot more women. So now that obviously you have a forced off season, like I've told all the other women's physiquers, you're done. You can't do any more for the rest of the year, even if you wanted to, which I'm sure now you want a break. You would like a break after 7-8 months of dieting. What type of changes now to your physique do you want to make before you step on stage? Because obviously you know who all of the women's physique pros are now. And what's very interesting is all of you ladies look like completely different. Everyone has a different personality on stage. Everyone has like a different physique. Some of you are a little longer and leaner. Some are a little shorter and thicker. So knowing now the type of women that you'll be up against, is there anything to your physique that you want to change before you step on the first pro stage?
Yes, I really want to work on my back. I feel like I lost a lot of muscle from dieting so long this year. I was dieting 9 months now. So I feel like my back looks way different than it did back in the Junior USA just because of all the dieting and cardio. So I want to bring my back back in and work on my shoulders a little bit, my calves, just kind of a little bit of tweaking here and there all over the place, and just bring in a healthy look for next year and really work on my routine. I'm going to kind of revise my routine a little bit.
Very good. Now, I like to end every interview with just three kind of fun questions. So my first question, don't worry, they're not incriminating or anything. Everyone's always so worried, but like, oh, God, she's going to ask me about like my sex life. Nope, I'm not going there. my first question is, so when you're at the gym and you really have to focus, let's say you're getting ready for a show, you really have to concentrate and get in the zone, if you will. What type of music do you usually like to listen to when you train?
I really like house and trance music.
Ooh, okay, good. You're the first one I've had on that likes to listen to that. That's awesome. Very good. Next question is, I guess it's a two-part question that I usually ask. The first one is, if you are allowed a cheat meal during your prep, what do you usually eat? And I don't mean post-contest. Post-contest will be the next half of the question, but what's your cheat meal of choice if you're allowed to have one?
You know what? The diet coach that I work with, Dave Palumbo, he always tells me early on to take a cheat meal, but I just never can because mentally it just messes with me so bad. I feel like I'm going to fall behind if I take it.
Mm-hmm.
I know he says it's going to help me, but I don't even do it, to be honest. So I wait till after the show.
I was like, I hope Dave's not listening. She's not listening to you, Dave. She's not taking your cheat. Of course, next time.
I just mentally can't do it. I don't know what's my problem, but...
So then what's your post-contest meal? Let's say, you know, especially after you... Maybe not necessarily after you won your pro card, but after a big win, what is your choice for the number one meal that you want to gorge out on after you get off stage?
I always like to have a cheeseburger and fries after pre-judging, and then after the night show, I always like to have pizza.
Ooh, very nice. Is that where you were able to have after the North Americans?
Yes, I did. And I thought I could eat so much more than I could, but I only ended up eating 3 small pieces and I was stuffed.
That's the worst, when you can't even really enjoy it, almost.
Yeah, your eyes are like bigger than your stomach.
Yeah, exactly. And at that point, you're probably just tired. You'd much rather go to sleep rather than eat any more pizza.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's for sure.
So my last question is, you know, women's physique is so brand new, and, you know, just like with any division, you've got a wide variety of women that are coming into physique. You have the bigger figure girls, the smaller bodybuilders. You've got women now who maybe have never competed before that are thinking, oh, wow, this is something that's interesting to me that I may want to try out. But obviously everyone's still a little bit confused, just like when bikini came out, and now with men's physique out, everyone's just a little unsure what the judges want. So what advice can you give to a woman who's considering going into women's physique and thinking, well, I'm not sure because the judges don't really know what they want. What advice can you give to them to try to encourage them to still kind of push through and get on stage?
I think if there's like some girls that are borderline like figure to physique, if they're a little bit bigger for figure than they probably should be, then they should give physique a try. It's really fun, and you get to actually display what you work so hard for instead of just the figure where you don't get to do so much. At least the physique, you get to do the different poses. You can put your own twist on it, and then you get to, you know, choreograph your own routine, so it makes it unique to you. And it's just a really fun category. So I would tell them to give it a shot, for sure.
Perfectly, perfectly put. Well, Nola, thank you so much for coming on Muscle Girls this week. And I know you will be hanging around at the Olympia, correct?
Yes, I'll be there this week.
Okay, cool. So if anyone sees Nola, give her a big high five or a hug or something and tell her congratulations on becoming an IFBB pro. And I'm sure I will see you. I know I will see you definitely all weekend. So I'm this.
Oh, yes.
Won't be the last time I talk to you this week. So I'll see you in a couple days.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on, Christina.
Thank you so much, Nola. Well, that does it for this episode of Muscle Girls, Inc. Check out the forums on rxmuscle.com and give us your thoughts or suggestions for any other show topics or any questions you might have for Nola. And also, any suggestions and topics to me, you can email me at Christina, C-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, at rxmuscle.com. And until then, this is it for Muscle Girls, Inc. We will see you next week.
Muscle Girls, Inc. is a presentation of rxmuscle.com.